Anybody who's been a Christian for any length of time will know that the Christian life is not easy. We live in a fallen world that does not honour the Lord Jesus Christ. And life in such a world brings many challenges. Every day we are under pressure to give in to temptation. Sometimes situations arise in our lives and we simply don't know how we're going to cope. Sometimes difficult situations arise in our lives that are common to all people. And sometimes difficult situations arise in our lives that are only known by Christians. But we all know difficulties, we all know pressure, we all know temptation, we all know what it is to struggle and to find things hard. But while the Christian life is a life that contains many challenges, it's also the best and the happiest life that a person can enjoy. And we have all the resources that we need to live this life. We have all the resources we need to live the Christian life. And this incident that we read a few minutes ago helps us to see this. This incident in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ where he walks on the water. It's found in Matthew chapter 14 from verse 22 to 33. And we're thinking about it this evening. The first point I want to make as we look at this great incident in the life of Jesus is this. The Lord Jesus Christ leads his people through difficult situations. He leads his people through difficult situations. In verses 13 to 21 of this chapter, we read the great miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And you're familiar with that miracle where the Lord Jesus Christ, with just five loaves and two fishes, he fed 5,000 men, plus the women and the children who were present. And immediately after performing that miracle, he told his disciples to get into a boat and sail to the other side of Lake Galilee. Now, from what we know about Lake Galilee, and from what the different gospel accounts tell us about where the disciples sailed from and where they sailed to, we know that it was probably a crossing of about 5 miles that they had to make in the boat. He would join them again later, but for the time being they were to go on ahead in the boat. And before he would join them, Jesus dismissed the crowd. He dismissed this great crowd of people that he just fed. And he went up a mountainside in order to pray. He went to be alone and to pray to his Father. As we read through the Gospels, we read again and again, don't we, of the Lord Jesus Christ spending time in prayer. He is the Son of God come into the world, but he is fully man. A real man. And in the great task that he had been given by his Father, he needed to be continually strengthened and upheld and kept by his Father. And he knew that he continually needed to seek his Father's help in prayer. And he made sure then that he was alone. Alone, and he went up this mountain in order to pray and to seek the Father's help. But what happened to the disciples while Jesus was praying? Well, we're told in the passage that by evening the boat was a good distance into the lake. And they were struggling. The wind was against them, and we're told in verse 24 that they were being buffeted by the waves. And that word that's translated buffeted is a strong word. It's a word that's often used of torment and torture. They were being tormented by the wind and the waves. They were being tortured by the wind and the waves. It was hard. It was a struggle. It was painful. They were there in a small fishing boat, in a storm, in the middle of this lake. And the wind and the waves were buffeting them, torturing them. And they were in this situation because they had simply done what Jesus told them to do. That's why. They had simply followed Jesus' instructions. Jesus had told them to get into the boat and go across the lake. So they got into the boat and they were going across the lake, and they found themselves being buffeted, being tortured, tormented by the wind and the waves. And there are times, aren't there, when obedience to Jesus Christ, when simple, humble obedience to the instructions of Jesus Christ given in his word will lead us into difficult situations. In the Christian life, we don't do what's easy, but in the Christian life we do what's right, and we do what is honouring to God. And there are many, many Christians who have found that simple obedience to the Saviour has led to all kinds of difficulties for them. And maybe as you're listening to this, some of you can think of examples in your own life. You can think of times in your own life when following the instructions of Jesus Christ in his word has caused you suffering, has caused you trials, has caused you difficulties. But while this was not a pleasant experience for the disciples, while it was not one that they would have chosen to be in, they learned through it valuable lessons about themselves and about Jesus Christ that they would not have learned otherwise. The Lord Jesus Christ leads his people through difficult situations. Secondly, we see in this passage that Jesus Christ rules over everything. Jesus Christ rules over everything. We're told in verse 25 that it was the fourth watch of the night. Now that the Romans divided the night into watches, and the fourth watch of the night was from 3 until 6 in the morning, 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. The disciples, we're told, had been struggling in the boat since evening. We're not told exactly what is meant by evening, but certainly it was now 3 to 6 in the morning, and they'd been in the boat since evening. They'd been out in the boat for several hours, struggling against the wind and the waves for several hours. We know from John's account of this incident in John chapter 6 and verse 19 that they travelled about 3 or 4 miles at this point, and remember the whole crossing was about 5 miles. So they were in the middle of the lake, having been struggling for several hours with the wind and the waves that were tormenting them. And then they saw something. Or to be more precise, they saw somebody. They saw somebody walking towards them on the water. And it was Jesus himself. If you watch sports events on the television or attend sports events yourselves, sometimes supporters will have a banner with them. And the banner might say of their star player, so-and-so walks on water. Of course, they can't walk on water. They'd get into severe difficulties if they tried to walk on water. But the point the supporters are making is that this person has great ability. And this person has such ability that they're able to make a great difference to the outcome of the match. Well, Jesus Christ really did walk on water. And Jesus Christ has all the ability and all the authority of God. And the presence of Jesus Christ really does make a difference in the difficulties that we face. He is the one who made the seas and the lakes, and he's able to walk upon them. This chapter, Matthew chapter 14, speaks all the way through of the authority, of the great power of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 14, we read of him having compassion on the crowd and healing the sick. Then in verses 15 to 21, we read of this great miracle. It's amazing, isn't it? This great crowd of people being healed by the Lord Jesus, listening to his teaching, and the disciples say to him, well, it's the end of the day, and we need to send them home so they can get something to eat. And he says to them, well, you feed them. You give them something to eat. And they say, but you know, we've only got 5 loaves and 2 fish, and there are thousands of people. We can't feed them. And he told them to sit down. And Jesus Christ took those 5 loaves and 2 fish and miraculously provided food, enough food for this crowd that there were baskets left over. What power, what authority. And then later at the end of the chapter, after they'd crossed over and reached the other side of the lake, we read again of Jesus healing the people. Indeed, the people brought the sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch his cloak, his clothes. And people simply touched him and they were healed. Such was his power, such was his authority. And here then, in the instant we're looking at, we find him walking upon the water in a storm. The one who has loved you and saved you from your sins. And the one who sometimes leads you through difficult times is the one who walked on water. Doesn't that help you? Doesn't that encourage you? To know that though you face difficulties, as you live in simple obedience to Jesus Christ, the one that you are trusting, the one that you are serving, has power and authority over everything, without exception. There is nothing in the universe that Jesus Christ does not have complete authority over. Nothing at all. And yes, you sometimes face difficulties as you serve him, but the one you're serving has this authority. Thirdly then, we see in this incident that Jesus Christ gives his people courage. Jesus Christ gives his people courage. If the disciples were afraid of the storm, they were even more afraid when they saw this person walking towards them on the water in the storm. And we're told that they started screaming. They thought it was a ghost. They thought it was a ghost coming towards them. And they were terrified and were screaming. And Jesus said to them in verse 27, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Take courage. It's I. Don't be afraid. And there is something wonderful in this statement that doesn't come across in our English translation, and the disciples may not have picked up on it at the time. Oh, got a disturbance. Just let them go. The disciples might not have picked up on this at the time, but these words, it is I. When Jesus says, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid, the words, it is I, are literally the words, I am. I am. Jesus literally says to the disciples, take courage, I am. Don't be afraid. Do you remember what happened when the Lord sent Moses to deliver the Israelites from Egypt. We read about it in Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Moses said to God, well, you know, who are you? We're told in Exodus 3:13 that Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. That's the Lord's name. That's how the Lord reveals himself as the great I am. And years later, I am was with the disciples in the storm. Take courage. I am. Do not be afraid. The one who was with the disciples in the storm is the one who led the people of God out of Egypt. He's the one who led them through the Red Sea. The one who led them through the wilderness. Jesus Christ is the great I am. Jesus Christ is the Lord God Almighty. And his presence gave the disciples courage. And still today, in the many challenges, in the many difficulties that God's people face, Jesus Christ, the great I am, is with them. Do you stop and think about that? If you're a Christian, in the difficulties you face, I am is with you. He's not with us bodily, but he's with us by his Spirit, whom he has sent. And we need not be afraid. Listen to these great verses in Isaiah chapter 43. In Isaiah 43 we read, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. Isn't that a glorious promise that God makes to his people? When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And here were the disciples passing through the waters. Here were the disciples in a storm on the lake. And Jesus Christ comes to them and says, take courage, I am. Don't be afraid. The Lord is with them. The Lord is with his people. In all of their difficulties, the Lord gives them courage. But then fourthly, we see in this passage that Jesus Christ enables his people to do what they could never do themselves. He enables his people to do what they could never do themselves. Something truly amazing happened next. Peter, we're told in verse 28, said to Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Jesus said, come. And then we read that then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. Peter walked on water. I don't know about you, but I think sometimes we actually miss that when we look at this passage. We focus so much upon what happened next that we miss the fact that Peter actually walked on water. The Lord Jesus Christ enabled Peter to walk on water. And through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're able to do things, you're able to face things that you don't have the strength to do or to face yourself. Let's think of some examples. And some of these examples might be relevant to you right now, I don't know. Maybe you're struggling with temptation. Maybe you're struggling with temptation in an area of life where you're particularly vulnerable. And of course the devil knows where you're vulnerable. The devil knows just where to attack, just where to fire his darts. And perhaps the devil's targeting a particular weakness right now, and you're struggling under the weight of temptation, and you don't know if you can resist. You don't know if you can resist the temptation, the onslaught of the devil. You don't think you're strong enough. But remember that Jesus Christ enables Peter to walk on water. Through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can resist the attacks of the devil. You can resist temptation. He can enable you. Think of another example. Maybe there are people in your life who seem intent on making it difficult for you to live the Christian life. Maybe you have family members or colleagues at work who make hurtful comments, who deliberately seem to throw down obstacles, to try to make you sin or to prevent you from serving Jesus Christ. I can think of a lady I know who lives in North Wales, and she was converted after she was married, and her husband is still unconverted. And her husband doesn't particularly like the fact that she's a Christian. And one of the highlights of the year for this lady is to go to the Aberystwyth Conference, the Evangelical Movement of Wales annual conference in August each year. And she looks forward to that week each year. She enjoys it at a time with the Lord's people, being fed upon God's word. And a few years ago, she went to the Aberystwyth Conference full of excitement, looking forward to this week of refreshment and encouragement. And she got quite a surprise when, during the first session of the conference, the chairman said, at the end of the meeting, could Mrs. So-and-so, and read her name, come down and see the conference secretary at the front. So she wasn't sure what it was about, but at the end of the meeting she went down the front, and the conference secretary said, "Oh, we've had a phone call from your husband. He's not well. He needs you to return home." So she got her things together and she returned home. It was about three hours drive, and she eventually got home. She went to the front door, and her husband came and opened the door. Big grin on his face. "Oh," he said, "I didn't really want you to go to that conference, but I knew I had to do something desperate to get you back." And there are Christians, aren't there, who are dealing with that every day. There are Christians who are living in that kind of home situation. And maybe some of you have struggles that you can identify with in that way. And you don't know sometimes if you can cope for much longer. But remember that Jesus Christ enabled Peter to walk on water. Or maybe some of you are facing uncertain times at home or at work. Don't really know what the future's going to hold. You're perhaps under lots of pressure, lots of strain in different ways. And you just don't know how you're going to get through the trials that you're facing. Well, remember that Jesus Christ enabled Peter to walk on water. Or maybe some of you have friends that you'd like to share the gospel with, friends you'd like to invite to church or to some of the activities of the church. But you're worried about how they might react, and you're worried about making a mess of talking about the Saviour. What if I say the wrong things? And you're tempted to leave it. You're tempted not to say anything to them at all because you're worried you'll make a mess of it. You're worried they won't react well. But remember that Jesus Christ enabled Peter to walk on water. Can he not enable you to say a word for him? Can he not enable you to speak to your friends about him? And so we could go on. The Apostle Paul wrote a letter from prison to the church at Philippi, and as he wrote this letter, he wrote about times when he'd had plenty And he wrote about times when he'd had nothing. And he wrote about how Jesus Christ had been with him in the good times and in the bad times. Jesus Christ had got him through the good times, and Jesus Christ had got him through the bad times. And he was able to say, in the light of all this, I can do everything. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. The Lord Jesus Christ enables Peter to walk on water. And he enables his people to serve him. He enables his people to endure through trials. He enables them to do things that they don't have the strength to do in themselves. Be encouraged. Look to Jesus Christ. Then the fifth lesson we learn is that Jesus Christ is worthy of all our trust. It was all going so well, wasn't it? It all looked so good. As Peter walked towards Jesus Christ on the water. But then what happened? Well, he saw the wind. And he saw the strength of the wind and the waves that were beating around him. And he was afraid. And he began to sink. He lost sight of the Saviour. And he lost sight of the Saviour, and all he could see was the wind. And that's when he began to go under. And he cried to Jesus for help. And Jesus reached out his hand and took him back into the boat. But Jesus rebuked Peter. He rebuked him for that. He said in verse 31, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" Why did Peter doubt? Why did he doubt the Lord Jesus Christ? Hadn't he just seen him feed over 5,000 people with just a bit of bread and fish? Wasn't he watching him walk on water? Why did he doubt him? But how often could that rebuke be applied to us? How often could the Lord Jesus Christ say to you and to me, "You have little faith. Why do you doubt? Why do you doubt me? Why don't you trust me?" Which was more powerful? The wind or Jesus Christ? Which was more powerful? And which are greater this evening? The problems that you are facing, or your mighty Saviour? Which is greater? Which is stronger? Which is more powerful? Can you not trust him? There are lots of stories that fly around about Martin Luther. Martin Luther, the great reformer of the 16th century. And Martin Luther then, as you know, was leading the way in the great Reformation that took place, that great work of God's Spirit. But as you can imagine, in such a work, Martin Luther was often overwhelmed by the difficulties he was facing. And there were times when he got really quite down about the difficulties that he was facing. And there was one time in particular when he was just overwhelmed. He just couldn't cope. He was so despondent because of all the difficulties he was facing in preaching the gospel, because of all the opposition he was receiving. And he was quite a character. And his wife was quite a character as well. And the story is told that one day when he was really down in the dumps and overwhelmed, his wife came down dressed in mourning clothes. Dressed in black. And Martin Luther looked at his wife and said, Well, what's happened? Who's died? And apparently she said, "Well, I presume that God must have done, the way you've been carrying on lately." And you can see the point she was making, can't you? In effect, she was saying to her husband, "You have little faith. Why do you doubt? Why do you doubt your mighty Saviour? Is he not stronger? Is he not more powerful than the problems you're facing? Doesn't he have authority over them? And can we not trust him? Can we not trust our mighty Saviour? Will he not enable us? Will he not get us through the trials and the difficulties we may be facing? So the Lord Jesus Christ leads his people through difficult situations. He rules over everything. He gives his people courage. He enables them to do things they could never do themselves. He's worthy of all our trust. And we can bring all of this together by saying finally that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the Son of God. We're told in verse 32 that Jesus and Peter got into the boat and the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." They responded in the only way that they could, by worshipping him, God's Son. And this is why we can trust him in all the challenges of the Christian life. This is why we can trust him in all the trials and difficulties we may face. Because he is the Son of God. He has all the authority and power of God. And we can add to that, can't we? We can add to that and we can say we can trust him through all the trials and difficulties of the Christian life, because he, the Son of God, has come into the world to save his people from their sin. He has suffered and died on the cross of Calvary and shed his own blood, and risen again on the third day to deliver us from sin and the devil and from hell. He has done all this to take us to heaven. And having done all that, the Son of God having come into this world as a man, the Son of God having gone to Calvary and shed his blood and died, having done all of this to save his people from their sins, will he really leave them without the help and the resources that they need to live the Christian life? Of course not. He will see to it that they have all the help and resources they need. He will ensure that they reach heaven. He will take them through all their difficulties and trials and bring them safe to the glory that he's purchased for them. And so, if we were to sum this message up in a nutshell, it would simply be this. That if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, if your faith and hope is in him, then whatever you may be facing, and whatever may lie around the corner, he says to you, "Take courage. It is I. I am. Don't be afraid."